Welcome to Keep Going, a new podcast brought to you by the TMP Life. I am your host, Eric. Why don't you walk with me as I try my best to help you get to the next level in your life? So without further ado, here is Keep Going. Let's start the show. Hello, everyone. Thank you so very much for listening in to another episode of Keep Going. Of course, I am Eric with the TMP Life. And as always, I thank you so very much for listening in, for continuing to tune in, and just making sure that everything is all good, y'all. Again, right now, everything is so crazy with the coronavirus, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better anytime soon. However, I am here to help you guys get past it by providing you with great content, motivational content, talking to inspiring people, and just making sure that overall, you have a better sense of self and have a better sense of worth and just everything, considering all of the issues that are going on now. So as always, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you decided to be here. I really appreciate it. And today I have a really, really great interview. I keep saying interview, but it's actually a conversation with Tanya J. Miller. She is a life coach. She is an author. She's a motivational speaker. She's a YouTuber. She does a lot, y'all. And she's very, very, very well versed in it. We talked about all kinds of different things. So much so that we actually had to break this into two parts because it was that good of a conversation, you know. So we talked about everything from her beginnings, why she began to get into being a motivational speaker and being a life coach, all the way to the books, the different books that she has available now, and all of those good factors that play along with who Tanya J. Miller really is. So I thank you all for listening in, and I think you're going to like it. Again, it's going to be told in two parts. The first part is mainly going to be just her talking about her beginnings and who she is and some of the things that she's accomplished thus far. Now, one thing I do want to say is, given the fact of everything that's going on and with social distancing, we didn't have the opportunity to record it face to face like I normally do. So we decided to do it the old school way of just doing it over the internet with using Zoom. And it ended up coming out really good, y'all. So sit back and relax and listen to this absolutely amazing episode, part one of this amazing conversation I had with Tanya J. Miller.
All right. So, hey, everyone. My name is Eric, of course, with the TMP Life. Welcome once again for listening in. As always, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you have decided to be here with us, and I really appreciate it. I have the absolutely amazing coach, life coach, motivational speaker, author, all the good things, all of these cool things, Miss Tanya J. Miller. And she is here speaking to us today, or to the listeners today, just to get some insight on who she is, some of the things she's accomplished, and some of the things that are coming up for her. So welcome, Miss Miller. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And you don't got to say all that, Eric. You're cutting up already.
I know, right?
You're doing too much already, but okay. Hey, y'all.
I can't help it, man, because when I started looking up some of the things you've accomplished over the last few years, it's amazing. I mean, you have 6 books, right? And I want to say 2 of them are actual books, and several of them are journals, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. 3 are books and 3 are journals or guides or something like that. So I say projects because I feel like the book part is me doing my regular speaking, helping, motivating, inspiring. But the journals, the guides, that's where I'm putting you to work. And that's where I'm getting in my coaching. Like, look, y'all read this?
That's right.
I'm making y'all do the work now. So here
that's
we go.
Right. That's right. That's right. And I love that because I love the idea of you applying the work to people, or having people apply the work that you speak. So whatever it is that you discuss in your books, whatever topics, you have them do some work to go behind it. Because really, in all honesty, the only way to be able to retain anything is through application, not necessarily it's through reading as well, but through application is how you can test it and make sure that you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do. So, yes. Let's start off first and foremost by saying, well, one of the absolute, I was going through your website, and one of the absolute best things I've seen was the very first, under the speaking tab, the very first line you said was what Dr. Miles Monroe said, which is one of my favorite quotes. The greatest yes. tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose.
Yeah,
man.
That's my mentor in my head. I was great, and it was great for me and my husband to actually have met him. We met him at Norfolk State University when we lived in Virginia, and it was probably surreal, you know, of course, to anybody when he passed, but just to know we got to meet him, talk to him, shake hands, got like all his books up until that time autographed. Just, yeah, it was crazy. We didn't have, I don't know why neither one of us got pictures ourselves. But hey, we met him, talked to him, everything. So yeah, he's literally one of the leaders that I still follow to this day. He's a mentor in my head. He was just a great man when it came to understanding leadership and purpose. Like, that's the core of what I talk about. And so how else can I not, you know, study a great? So
I agree. I agree with you 100%, simply because one of the things that, and I would often go to YouTube and look at some of his speeches and just listen to some of the motivating things he would say. And you're absolutely right. You know, when it comes to just living your purpose or having an actual purpose, once you know what it is, then there's nothing that can stop you from being able to continue to pursue it and also help others in the process. So yeah, it was unfortunate that he passed away. And he was pretty young, wasn't he? Like, I don't know exactly how old he was, but I think he was pretty young.
They were like
in his 60s, I think.
Either his late 50s or early 60s, him and his wife. Yeah, him and his wife passed together along with a couple of more, I want to say, I think it was none of the other pastors. I think that might have been her brother or something like that. But
right.
A couple of other church members, leadership that were in the And then, but what was crazy, they said just about the love, his two children said about just the love that he had for his wife, kind of, you know, similar to, unfortunately, the situation with Kobe and his daughter, Gigi. They were like, that was the only way it could have happened.
It could have happened,
you know,
right. That
they both went together, because neither one of them would have been okay doing life without the other one. So
right.
A lot about their love for each other as well, which, you know, he talked about marriage as well, and he didn't play when it right. came to marriage as well. So yeah,
right. So and that brings me to one of the questions I wanted to ask. What got you involved in wanting to become a speaker, to encourage other people and to motivate others to be able to find their passion and to find the things that they are set to do in their lives?
So I get this question a lot, and I guess the best way I can say it is by trade and DNA. I'm a pastor's daughter. I tell people I was born a PK. I didn't have a choice, literally. And so, you know, quite naturally, you know, seeing what my father and my mother did to help out and what they do just as acts of service and leadership, of course, it rubbed off. You know, they would definitely, I know he would want me to have and to be, you know, running it over there at the church. But, you know, right. I told them, you know, a lot of what I do is just kingdom, which is, you know, if I'm going to talk to them before they even get into the church, or even if they decide, I want to still talk to them, whether they come or they don't. And so I want to make sure that they doing life, you know, and that they know who they are. And if I can get them there, then I'm passing them off to the next person. You know, I'm sowing the seed, somebody else going to water, somebody else going to till it, somebody else going to bring some sunshine. And if they make it, praise God. If not, at least I've done my part to help along the way. But yeah, it's just been in me. You know, I tell people, I literally feel like I've been trained my whole life, you know, been public speaking, feel like since I was three, you know, when you had to get up and do that Sunday school.
And do that Sunday school.
Talk about, like, when did you get at it? In some kind of way, I got the mic, you know, okay.
Right.
if don't nobody else get up, they gonna give you the eye. One of the preacher's kids, they're like, yeah, somebody gonna say, but they got out this session. And so, you know, that's kind of been, you know, what it was, you know, doing plays in some kind of way, I always would get a leading role in, you know, acting in plays and speeches and different things like that. And then, I mean, and that's in school too, you know, some kind of way I was ended up the quiet introvert, yet I was always the one that teacher looked to be like, I remember my fourth grade teacher, she was also my fifth grade teacher, Ms. Johnson. She told my parents, she was like, if I'm teaching something and if I look around and I ain't getting nobody to understand it, but if Taya don't understand it, she said, I know I got it wrong and I got to go back to the home. I was like, they were like, yes, Ms. Johnson told us that. I was like, wow, okay. So, you know, it's just been in me, you know, kind of just, I know, you know, we all have a responsibility and assignment, and that came early on, you know, teaching that from my dad. You know, he taught us that we all have a responsibility, a purpose and assignment here on this earth. And when we're not doing it, we're not where we're supposed to be, and we're not able to help who we're supposed to help along the way. And so when that's the case, you know, we're not just not to say that person won't ever get help, but it's like, you know, when we're keeping that person from the next thing that they're supposed to do or help or be, because we're not in position, we're not on assignment, we haven't accepted our, you know, our task, our purpose. And so that teaching early on just continued out throughout my life, and, you know, it's just who I am, you know. And so it just kind of progressed to become this full-fledged business, if you will, of what I do, you know, helping people to do life and leadership unapologetically on purpose. But, you know, it's just in me.
and that's the beauty of who you are as a person. Again, I haven't known you long. I've only known you for a few weeks now, or maybe about a week and a half, a couple weeks. And just by speaking with you the first time, right before we even, prior to connecting today, we had a chance to speak, and I just felt the passion in your voice and just the passion in who you are as a person, just through the phone. So just imagine, you know, if anyone else around you would be able to feel that same, I'm pretty sure everyone else around you would be able to feel that same type of emotion. Same as with your teacher. Your teacher knew right off the bat, okay, you know what, if she don't understand it, then that something ain't right about it. And that speaks volume, simply because it shows who you are as in terms of character and in terms of because any, you know, we all know sometimes when it comes to like things that we do in our lives or whatever, the old saying or the old Bible quote that I use, I want to say is Matthew 22:13 or 14, where it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah. And it definitely seems like it's one of those moments where you were chosen to do this. You're divinely chosen to do this. And again, just look at the path that you've, that was set for you already. Mm-hmm. And so I believe in this is somewhat your destiny to be able to, and again, I only know you for a week. So, you know, just imagine how much power you have in your voice and your words. So I really believe in it. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was funny you said that one, because the one my daddy will always say is the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so that's how he would even the more echo it, like, look, we need y'all to work. We need y'all to serve. Right. We need y'all to get on y'all assignments. So, yeah,
right. I was crazy
you brought that one up, because that's the one he would always say. So.
Yeah, man, that because that's kind of how it is. You know, again, nowadays, with so many things going on in the world, like, you know, especially with, you know, with COVID-19 and, you know, the pandemic that's happening, and just, you know, the fear and the panic in people right now, you know, just because we don't know, there's so many uncertain things that are happening in our lives. And for you, for someone like you to be there and to coach them into saying, hey, you know what, it's going to be all right. If you follow the path that I have set, or, you know, or follow the path that I've seen, and it's going to be all right, you know. And I think a lot of people need to hear things like that nowadays, because it's strong now. So I did want to ask you, though, a couple things I wanted to ask you. you've been here. Yeah, let's get to the meat now. No. So you've been doing this for a long time now. I want to say, according to the site, I think you've been doing it since like 2005 or something like that.
So Talk with Tanya has been around since 2005. Yeah.
And it started off as a blog site, and I thought that was kind of cool. You know,
it was a part of a nonprofit that I had when my dad, and the core of that was about mentorship. And so it was called the 20s AD. 20s kind of because it was early 2000s, and then 20s because it was for the young adults, 20 to 29, because I felt like literally you go through by five different life-changing situations,
right,
at minimum. During that age bracket. And a lot of times, you know, whether church or community or, you know, the world, they just leave that age to figure out life, you know, figure out who they are, what they're trying to do, like, oh, they'll get it, you know. And I'm like, no, like, they need someone, you know, to be able to ask questions to be able to talk to somebody that's been there, done that, you know, because they not teenagers. So they not like, oh, I don't need it. No, that we want it. We need it. And so that was kind of where it came from. Cause I just felt like young adults, it's just so hard to bridge that gap.
It is. Know? It
especially really as somebody from the church. It's like you had everybody all crunk and hype at the teen conference, you know, the teen summit, the youth explosions, and then you just left them hanging when they graduated. And you was like, well, maybe they'll come back and join the women's and the men's ministry, but hold on, it's a whole bunch of life in between. And
so, right.
Had that nonprofit with my dad, but, you know, that and actually a business as well, but the recession happened, I relocated, got married, and so it was a little challenging to keep it up, but I was still wanting to keep up the blog because a lot of people wanted that still,
right.
And so I kept the blog going. So, yeah, Talk with Tanya, the blog, has been around since 2005. Yes, sir.
Nice, nice. And now you've converted it over to YouTube, so now you have a YouTube page. Talking with Tanya, so that's I saw a few of the videos, and you're giving it to us, man. I'll be honest with you, you're giving it to us, but a lot of the things that you say are poignant, you know. Again, living life, how did you say, unapologetically on purpose?
Yes.
And just being able to create a life for yourself that is outside of, well, number one, that's outside of normalcy, which is a normal, like, mediocre portion of who you are, you know. And two, living life outside of what society sees you as, you know. No, you're definitely much more than that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so why not be able to try to bring that out, you know? And
absolutely.
I love the idea of having a nonprofit that symbolizes that, you know what I'm saying? So
I had the nonprofit. I don't,
right,
have it anymore.
I mean.
But yeah, I had the nonprofit. Yeah.
Right.
But still, and then kind of, I tell people, you know, what morphed is what you see now in Tanya J. Miller, the business, you know, mm-hmm. elements of the nonprofit, elements of the business that I did as well. And just kind of, it got, what starting those got me to realize bringing out the best of what I offered in both of those and putting it all together in one package.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, you have everything from just from a tangible aspect, you have everything from buttons, you have shirts, you have obviously you have books, and you have journals, and you are a full-fledged business, and it's very it's something that's needed. It's definitely needed right now, especially the message that you're giving to the people. You know, again, I think The Purpose Is Real is one of them that you have, which I'm going to definitely buy that one. one of your stickers.
Okay.
I got to get it. But you know, but it's true though. Practice having your purpose, you know, and being purposeful and being a part of this, you know, a part of yourself, and knowing who you are as a person, I think is speaks volumes, and it's of extreme value nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, you said a whole lot in just that last sentence about knowing who you are, because sometimes that's the whole problem. You don't know who you are anymore. You know what society says they think you should be, what your mom and them say, but how often do you actually sit with yourself and, you know, if you're a believer in God, to just figure out, but who am I? And what am I really supposed to be? What is my reason for being? You know, what's in me? Because it's already been there the whole time. You just haven't took the time to get to know yourself and to be with yourself. And so I would imagine a whole bunch of people probably having some of them conversations right now in a social distancing too. So
right now, more than anything, I agree.
Yeah. You know, a lot of those questions are coming up because you're with yourself. And so you got to, you know, start listening. So hopefully and prayerfully they're having those conversations and it's being good work.
I do have a question to ask. So let me ask. So do you meditate?
I would say I wouldn't necessarily say like I meditate with, you know, the music and all of that stuff, but I do, I call it quiet time. And I do, it's so funny, as an introvert, which a lot of people don't believe I am one, but I'm like, no, you really get to know me. I would say my meditation is like music, like music. And so I can go in a whole zone by myself, be by myself, like, isolation is not bad for me. That's, as an introvert, that's where you get your energy. That's where you get fueled. And so I'm good right now, you know. Right. My husband be like, you straight? I'd be like, yes. Like, I'm straight. Like, this is good for me. Like, And so, but that's actually a long time, quiet time, you know, music, zoning in, you know, prayer, all of that. That's good for me. And so I would say that would be, you know, kind of, you know, my time or whatever, and meditation, if you will. So my quiet time is, you know, my time by myself, where I'm just, because sometimes it can be full-blown quiet and I don't have to have nothing on. Like, I'm just in it.
You're just in it, right?
Yeah, because I remember early on, it was so funny. You know, let's just be real. Folks have to do marriage counseling. And so I remember
of course.
My husband told one of our family pastor that he was like, she could just be there by herself, nothing on, no music, just da 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 da. And he was, and so my pastor, he very much was similar to me, and his birthday wasn't that far from mine. And he started laughing. He was like, well, I was like, why are you laughing? He was like, because I relate. Like, and then not only that, like, I grew up with a lot of people in my family. I have a huge family. So quiet time is good for me. Like, whereas my husband, their family is smaller, so he needs stuff going on. I'm like, And so, you know, just a marriage tip, learning those differences makes you better along the way, because you can not become defensive of them, but appreciative of them, and give each other mutual respect. Marriage tip, y'all, marriage tip.
You bring up an interesting point about marriage and counseling as a whole. Recently, I suggested it to my wife. We've been married, it'll be 10 years actually this next month. It'll be 10 years. Okay. And so I mentioned it to her. I said, you know, even though everything has been going great, because our relationship is I like to tell people, a weird relationship, simply because a lot of the things,
the status quo, y'all.
Right. We are completely devoid of the status quo. You know what I mean? And so, I often tell people that, and when I tell people some of the things that we do, and you know, I'll hear some of my friends, they'd be like, wait, I'd never do that. Why? You know? And I mean, and it's not anything graphic or anything like that. It's just more of a, like, you know, there'll be moments where she needs her space, and I will give it to her. Like, you know, I'll leave out the room, or I'll leave the house for a little bit or whatever. And she needs, like, you know, some quiet time. Like, everyone needs some form of quiet time. And I guess a lot of people just assume that you have to be so close to your significant other.
Abundant each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I would tell my friends this, just, you know, say, well, yeah, you know, my wife and I, because they'll have issues with their marriages and things like that. And I'd be like, well, no, ours isn't like that. I don't know why. And they're like, well, y'all just got it good. No, and it's like, no, I think we're divine. We're meant to be with each other, you know, because a lot of the issues we don't have with, I guess, the traditional family nowadays, you know. But what I was going to say was, I talked with her the other day. We talked about this the other day about counseling because, you know, we've been together for 10 years. We've been together for 15 years. I don't want to get it wrong. I think it was 15 years. I don't get in trouble because she's gonna hear this and she's gonna be like, Eric, now you know doggone well. but we've been married almost 10 years and we've never seen a counselor. We've never seen one, I guess because we felt we never needed to see one. But I mentioned it to her and she was like, you know, I think we should do that. And again, it's not because anything is wrong in our relationship, because nothing is wrong. It's just the fact that sometimes we need, you know, clarification on things, that we need a re-up, I guess, of the love that we have. And I think having some type of counseling session would help that, would assist in that. So that's why I'm so glad you mentioned that, you know, that you and your husband went through that. Again, not necessarily to say it was a bad thing, but just, you know, you just need that extra push. You just need to know that extra feeling, I guess, you know. So I'm saying all of this to ask, what made you decide to seek counseling at what point? Or not, and you don't have to get into full detail as to what it is, but you know, what made you just decide, like, you know what, I think it's time for us to go and see somebody. Why not see somebody, you know?
Well, first of all, probably because of what I do and kind of how I was raised, because my mama, she still says she's a psychologist. but you know, of course, you know, they always were doing some type of pastoral counseling as well. But I am a firm believer that just like you go to get an annual checkup, male and female, for the various things you go for, the same is always good in a healthy mindset and approach to do the same for your spirit, soul, and mind, you know. So I believe, you know, just the check-in and like what you're talking about and, you know, talking about it to your wife is good. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You don't go in for your annual checkup because something is wrong. You go because it's just a good measure, you know, spoonful, you know, if you will. You know, so I'm an advocate of that. So for anybody listening, definitely consider going, just even if there's nothing wrong, once a year, just for that healthy mind, spirit, and soul checkup. That's great. So I'm an advocate of therapy and counseling. But to answer your question, it's crazy you brought it up. I'm actually in therapy right now. And so for me, the only reason I had not been in it before is because we had moved from Texas to Virginia. I mean, from Virginia to Texas. And so I hadn't found anybody here. Even though Texas is home, I hadn't found anybody here that I wanted to work
with.
And that's something else I would say as advice when you are looking to a therapist, counselor, or a psychiatrist or psychologist. Get one that, number one, I'll just be honest, goes with your core values, because not to say that they have to be Christian, but y'all need to mesh, you know, you need to make sense. You need to be able to listen and be able to hear them and be able to act on what they say, because if you're not going to hear them and they're not going to hear you, you're wasting your time and it's not going to be beneficial. And so definitely that. So I tell people, you know, especially I'm giving a whole bunch, but if you work for someone, a lot of times with your benefits, you don't even have to have health insurance, but through your job, but they have a lot of times benefits called EAP, which is free for any employee, whether you pay for health insurance or not, if your company has it. And through EAP, a lot of times you're allowed to have counseling and therapy as a free service. And so
yes,
you can have anywhere from 3, 5, or 7. And so check into that, because some folks be like, I ain't in my deductible. I can't go, I'll be like, okay, right. If your company got EAP, that's free. Use all your resources. I'm a firm believer to use everything. I tell everybody that. Use it all. If it's available, if it's an asset, if it's a resource, use it all, because you never know what you'll need when you need it. And that's kind of how therapy is. And like, you know, insurances, you never know when you'll need it. But if you get that work, that lesson, that help, when you don't need it, you will have it for down the road. So I'm giving you a long answer, but yes, folks, EAP, check it out. Don't be worried about your deductible. If you got insurance, you got EAP, that's free.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, but yeah, so I say that I'll just say I'm actually in it now. And that's, like I said, I would have been in before because I wouldn't have let it, just be honest, get to where it is right now, because I was recognizing what was going on. So for me, I'm a person that I can push through a lot. That's just my personality.
Right.
I can push through a lot. I can deal with adversity. I can deal with trials, tribulations, as you said. But then I know that there's that point to where it be hitting too much, and it be hitting real quick back to back. And I'd be like, yo, wait, hold on. And so, unfortunately, this last year and a half, that was kind of what it was. And so if you listen to any of my talk with Tanya's, you know, my fam, they've heard me talk about it. Like, I'm just real. Like, it's been real. You know, this past probably year and a half to 2 years, I lost count with how many loved ones I lost last year. Some even immediate, you know, my sister-in-law, they passed in the same week. I was like, y'all, I'm done. I'm just going to shut this down. Like, I'm through.
Wow.
Like, I told them, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm through. They was like, wait, what? I was like, yeah. And so that meditation, that quiet time of me, I ghosted on them. But I told them in advance, you know, communication. I said, yeah, I'm going to be MIA for a minute. But I'm here. Like, if it's a 911, y'all know how to get me. Y'all know.
Let me just cheer for a minute.
I had to go. You're in Texas, right? That's my work area. So there's, in Virginia, we're so used to nature. Like, it's big there. And so we had all these, like, hiking trails and all these different nature parks. And so here, when we first got back, I'm a resident, but I didn't remember. Or because I guess maybe I left so early, I didn't remember. And so ended up finding a hiking trail, Cedar Ridge Preserve. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you like walking, hiking, nature, definitely go to Cedar Ridge Preserve. There's also one in Plano, but it's not as major as the one in Cedar Ridge. But I went there every day the week my sister passed, because I just was like, I just needed to be away. And when I go there, I feel like I'm away. And so that was part of the work I started to do. And then after, you know, I ended up finding a therapist, because I was like, y'all, no, it's too many. And then unfortunately, they didn't stop. You would think the people passing had stopped after my sister. No, we had some more after that, and still some more now. I was literally just talking to my husband, and he was like, how are we going to the funeral next week with COVID? I said, I don't know. I don't think we're going. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Right.
Cause you know, that's a major issue. Luckily it's not us preparing it like it was last month with my grandmother. Cause I was like, yeah, I'm praying for my cousin and my uncle and them and everybody. Cause I know this is trying, but I was like, I'm just gonna be honest. I don't know if I could beat him right now, you know. Cause it's, you know, and so prayers up to anybody that's dealing with a funeral and burying someone, or even a loved one in a hospital going through cancer or a nursing home. It's challenging when you can't see somebody that might not be here down the road, you know.
Yeah.
My aunt works at Cook's, and she was like, it's hard because the parents can't even be with their kids and they sick. So it's a lot that people are dealing with right now. So therapy is always good. I believe it, and not just for when you're going through something, but just for that mental check-in, check-up. So, if you need some therapy right now with all this going on, anxiety, depression, loneliness, call, get some help. They're doing telehealth right now, where they will literally do it over the phone and computer. So get the resources, get the help. Don't stay in it by yourself. Don't stay stuck in your own way and in your own head. That's my message. I'm going to pass it to you because I feel like I've been talking. I'm gonna stop.
But no, but you know what's funny? You know what's amazing about
this? So as you can see, part one of my conversation with Tanya was really poignant. We talked a lot about her upbringing, as I said earlier, and as well as her therapy and how mental health plays an important role in her life and just in general right now, given everything that's happening all over the world. You know what I mean? So we must understand that mental health is very, very important and very paramount into who you are as a person. And if you do have the opportunity to speak to someone or to see someone about it, then definitely take advantage of it, y'all. Because again, right now, these are some really weird times that we're living in. And these are things that we cannot just continue to bottle in and keep to ourselves. We have to get it out at some point. Otherwise, it'll blow up and we don't want that to happen, right? So thank you, Tanya, so much for giving us your insight on what mental health means to you and how important it is to you, and also how important it is to me as well. I've talked about it several times on different podcast episodes, how very important it is to be able to speak to someone about your mental health. And we'll go more into that next week's episode. And yeah, next week's episode is really good too, because we'll talk more about her books, especially the one Things My Mama Said. Yeah, y'all, that's a really good one as well. So definitely tune in next week for the second half of my amazing conversation with Tanya. Be sure to follow her on Instagram and all social media platforms at Talking With Tanya. It's Talking With T-A-N-Y-A on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all of the other good places. And of course, you can go to her website at TanyaJMiller.com. And yeah, you can go to my website at TMPLife.com, as well as go to my Instagram handle at TheTMPLife. So definitely check me out. Be on the lookout for the next episode, y'all. It's going to be a really good one. And until the next time, I'm Eric with The TMP Life, and I'll see you guys soon.